Is there a city you love? If so, why? What makes it special? How could it be more special? Those are the kinds of questions East Lansing city officials will be asking tomorrow. They're inviting residents to brainstorm at a Love EL workshop with our next guest. Peter Kageyama is a placemaking and community development expert and a lover of cities. He's the author of two books, For the Love of Cities and its follow-up, Love Where You Live. Shanna Draheim of the East Lansing City Council also joins us. Ms. Draheim is involved in community development issues and placemaking as a policy consultant with Lansing's Public Sector Consultants. Peter Kageyama, Shanna Draheim, welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good to have you.
Peter, your focus appears to be grassroots change as opposed to the actions of a city council, for example. How did you become such an advocate? And you need both. I know you're going to say that, but how did you become such an advocate for the notion of grassroots change?
I think it has its origins here in Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, in 2007, I had the opportunity to tour around Michigan courtesy of MISHDA. I was doing some work with them. I was friends with them. And I saw some great stuff happening, especially in Detroit. And it seemed like there were these people who were doing amazing things for that city. This was before Detroit became kind of chic in terms of this particular story. This was still when Detroit, it's a dying city. And they were doing amazing stuff. And I realized, wow, these people love this place. And that matters. And so I started seeing more and more of that. And it's, obviously, this is a recurring theme in a lot of Rust Belt cities and, you know, certainly here in Michigan. So I give a lot of props to Michigan and Detroit for helping start that.
Is grassroots change more likely in a university community?
I think it's certainly creative solutions, I think, are more likely in a university community. I think, you know, university college towns tend to have this great mix of old ideas, new people, money, creativity, just lots of stuff happening. And that's a good formula for coming up with certainly more creative solutions.
One East Lansing placemaking effort that I'm sure will come up tomorrow at tomorrow's Love EL session, which, by the way, is from 4 till 7:30 at the Marriott Hotel University Place. But one effort will involve the artists' alleys that have taken shape in recent months. Shanna Draheim, where are these artists' alleys in downtown East Lansing, and what do people find there?
So we are in the process of redoing these two alleys. One is in the alley kind of between LS Techo and the new Fieldhouse restaurant bar there. And the other one is in the alleyway behind the surface parking lot right there in downtown.
Okay.
And we are working to do some very small scale but wonderful transformation of those with art and lighting and plantings and just some features that make those alleys, which are right now just plain kind of ugly alleys, and make them into really great spaces. And we're doing a sort of a multi-generational project with that, working with the middle school students and the seniors to design the mosaic and the mural that's going to go in the alley kind of by the LS Techo site, which is just a great way to transform, you know, that space.
Peter Kageyama, what difference can projects like this make?
They make a big difference. You know, most of our citizens were thinking about the most functional kinds of things. You know, alleys should be, you know, they should be relatively clean, they should be safe, they should be pothole free. But when we add something to the mix, when we add beauty, art, great design, we realize it's like, hey, this is cool. This has, you know, this makes us feel better than merely a functional and safe sort of alley. So I think that sometimes we don't even recognize the importance of this until we've actually experienced it. And you walk down that alley and go, hey, this is actually really, this feels good. And so I think our citizens sometimes need to be, you have to see it and to really feel it.
How do you get residents who may not naturally think about improving where they live to actually start thinking about it? How do you spread a sense of, let's say, civic creativity and placemaking among the residents of a city?
Well, part of that is what we're going to try to do with the workshop tomorrow.
Right.
Because most citizens believe that city building is all big stuff, you know, roads and bridges and schools and things like that. Most citizens don't believe that city building can be something like a little dog park or a community garden or a backyard festival that they do for their own amusement. That's city building, and it has value. And I think we need to get people to recognize that, that they can contribute something to the conversation.
You, Shanna, you took the plunge and got elected to city council last November, so you have a particular role in community development and placemaking. Is there, do you feel that the city council is sufficiently aware as a body, as a group? Do you think there is sufficient awareness among the members about the notion of placemaking? Does everyone share the gospel to some extent.
Well, I think that's probably growing as everybody gets into that role and we all look at it a little bit differently. But yeah, I think across all five of us, we all believe in, you know, the things that make our city strong, those assets and attributes, and this, and that small can be a big part of that. So maybe to varying degrees, but certainly in terms of the gospel and the theory behind it, absolutely, I think that's shared.
Peter Kageyama, aren't the places that arguably need placemaking the most apt to have a lot less grassroots participation? Poor cities, for example, where basic needs are just a whole lot more pressing?
Yeah. You know, placemaking is one of those things that, again, every place could be better. And certainly the most challenged places probably need the most love and attention. And sometimes they struggle to meet that sort of minimum threshold standard of being functional and safe. But that's not an excuse to not address things, again, like beauty and art in places. So even in the most challenged, you know, areas of cities, even in a place like, let's say, Flint right now. And some people might say, why would you think about doing something artistic in Flint right now?
You've anticipated one of my questions here. Well, what do you do with a place like Flint?
Well, I don't have a solution to how to fix the water system. You know, this is a generational problem that your state is going to be
facing.
But
there is a role for placemaking.
But there absolutely is a role in placemaking right now, because I think right now what people need is they need to feel somehow feel good about their community, even if it's in a small way, a smile, something that makes them see a light at the end of the tunnel that reminds them, saying, wait, despite all of this trouble, there is something that I still love about this place. And that is renewing. And that is important to the psyche of these people, and which is probably the most thing, the thing that's probably, you know, other than their physical health, it's probably the most damage, is they don't believe in their city anymore.
Peter Kageyama is a placemaking and community development expert. He is the author of two books, For the Love of Cities and Love Where You Live. He's in town for a special Love EL workshop scheduled for tomorrow at the Marriott Hotel University Place, 4 till 7:30 p.m. Shanna Draheim of the East Lansing City Council also joins us. One more question for you, Peter. You travel all over. You see placemaking efforts getting proposed and taking shape. Give us the best example of placemaking that you've heard or seen recently. One that maybe might make a skeptic stop and think, hey, there's something to this.
Saw a really good example just like a week ago in Baltimore. And there was this really ugly sort of viaduct, a little a tunnel, you know, in the middle of the city. And I saw pictures of it from before, and it was kind of scary. I mean, it's the kind of thing, it's like, you know, you wouldn't want to walk underneath of that.
Yeah.
So they added LED lights that they can then program. They're different colors, seasonal. You know, if the Ravens win, it's all purple or something like that. And it was a big change. And it wasn't, you know, a relatively small amount of money, but it just has one of the impact of that is, you know, is incredibly important. It actually connected two neighborhoods that wouldn't have been, that you wouldn't really want to walk between, you know, especially after dark. But all of a sudden now this is inviting, and this actually seems to draw us in and actually encourages us to maybe walk through this and sort of explore. So something that small. I mean, I see good stuff all the time, but that was just one sort of popped in my head when you're mentioning that.
Sure. Doesn't development in the more traditional sense, and you touched on this earlier, Peter, doesn't traditional development, hotels, parking lots, mixed-use developments, guys in limos, you know, making it all happen, doesn't that still play a really big role in placemaking? We're seeing Red Cedar Renaissance here, mm-hmm. about to take shape, yep. in East Lansing. That is a big project.
Absolutely.
How do you juggle the we need both. Would you agree with Peter that we need the kind of the top-down approach,
absolutely.
As well as the grassroots approach?
Absolutely. We absolutely need both. There's a place for both. And they're not mutually, not only do we need both, they're not mutually exclusive. We should be building in placemaking components to any large development that's happening. So things as simple as making sure that you are creating buildings that are aesthetically pleasing, that have benches out front where people might want to gather, or, you know, things like that, that create spaces that people want to be and feel pride in. So absolutely, you need both.
We have less than a minute, but I don't want you to get out of here, Shanna, before I ask you about East Lansing's central development issue, mm-hmm. I think, and that's the old bank,
yeah.
building and the impasse over what to do with it. What's new there? What, if anything, can you share with us about that?
Well, there are new owners of that building, and we were talking just before this that we're feeling optimistic for the first time in a long time, that we have some new owners who really want to do some creative things there, and I think are moving ahead in some of that planning. There are a couple legal hurdles for them to still get through, but I think we're going to start to see some plans coming in for that and some developments on that front over the next year for sure. And so I think lots of great ideas being generated that are very in line with some of the placemaking things, creating mixed use, things that people want to, you know, places people want to be, hotels, restaurants, things like that. So I'm feeling optimistic.
We want to thank both of you for joining us today. Shanna Dreheim is a member of the East Lansing City Council. Peter Kageyama is a Florida resident, but a placemaking community development expert and travels all over. He's in town for a Love EL workshop tomorrow at the Marriott Hotel University Place starting at 4 o'clock. Enjoy your visit. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.